Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we get into this record-breaking heat in Los Angeles. We'll tell some good old stories. Jeff Cesario's going to hang out. We're going to do some sports. We got some news coming as well. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online. The wait is finally over. It's here. Football season up and running, people. Well, Thursday is the kickoff, September 10th. Houston Texans at the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to be a good game. And then football Sunday coming after that. Seahawks versus Falcons. That's a good matchup. Packers-Vikings. That's very traditional. Buccaneers and Saints. Ooh, how's Tom Brady going to do? Dolphins are playing the Patriots. See what Cam Newton's up to. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. From game spreads to totals, prop bets to championship futures, and more. Head to Bet Online. Do it today. Take advantage of all the great season opening bonuses because they're going to offer those in the opening season. Visit betonline.ag, your exclusive partner, Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Buy tickets now for Modern Drummer Festival 2020, streaming on Live by Live, Saturday, September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Catch performances from more than 30 of the world's best drummers, including Chad Smith of Red Hot Chili Peppers, Taylor Hawkins of Foo Fighters, Mike Portnoy, Cindy Blackman Santana, and many more. Plus, a special tribute to drumming legend Neil Peart. All proceeds benefit brain tumor research at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in honor of Neil Peart. Get your tickets today at livexlive.com/moderndrummer and tune in September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern, only on Live by Live.
Back inside the toolbox after a long and hot holiday weekend in Southern California was the kind of heat that scorches your nose hair. You could actually feel your eyelashes burning. So this set of music is brought to you by air conditioning. Jesus, can it get any hotter? Air conditioning. If you don't have it, you're screwed. This set is dedicated to all our friends. You're the best friends the world has to offer. The kind of friends that would put Joe Cocker in a recording studio with Jimmy Page to recreate one of the greatest songs of all time. Only better? Who could do that? Jimmy did it with Dylan. Manfred Mann did it to Springsteen. But only Joe Cocker could do it with the Beatles. I get by with a little help from the toolbox.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do you
from Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Larry Elder, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Jeff Cesario on sports in our new segment, All Balls, All Sports, brought to you by Bet Online. And now, it was so hot in L.A., he listened to his dad blow the trumpet just for the breeze. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
What is the sports?
What is the sports? So we'll talk to Jeff coming up on the sports as well. We'll get into that new segment. Well, the big news around here has been hotter than the hubs of hell. We set some new records out here. Yep. I've been out here my entire life. It was 121 in Woodland Hills, California, which is sort of western San Fernando Valley. I used to work out in Chatsworth at a shop out in Chatsworth, which is probably right next to Woodland Hills, but
the suburb.
I was thinking about that because I was looking for I was listening to the news and listening to previous records, and the previous record was 119 in 06, which I didn't know about. I did hear about the 115 in 1979, which was what month, Max Zapata? Because it might have been August or something like that. But it was right about this time in 79, and it was right about this time I was entering the 10th grade.
September.
So it would have been the two-a-day practice schedule back then for the B football team, back when water was bad for you, everybody.
Yep.
If you people think things you hear are true now, you have to remember that my entire athletic career, 10 years of organized football, they knew without a shadow of a doubt that water was bad for you when you were out in record-setting temperatures running jingle jangles or up downs or gassers or whatever they're going to call them. Like, they would literally put you in the middle of the field, put you in full pads. I don't think people really get the full pad part of that whole thing. It is one thing to be in a pair of trunks and a cutoff T-shirt. It is a completely other thing to be wearing a helmet and shoulder pads. And back then, they just kind of had these jerseys, like thick jerseys that pour over you, thigh pads. You'd be wearing a girdle.
Hip pads,
butt pad. And they just run you out in this field. And just put a helmet on and go do that and see if your misery index doesn't go up tenfold. They would also yell at you to keep your mouthpiece in. You know, they want you spitting, having your mouthpiece dangling while you're running.
Yes. Not only was water bad for you, if you drank it too fast, you cramp up.
So they
would get cramps from all that hydration.
They wouldn't give you any water, and then they just tell you, just rinse it. You'll cramp up. And I, of course, was miserable. Also, 1979 or September 1979 is when we would have been starting the 10th grade, by far my worst year ever. I had a very down year in 79. And the reason I had a very down year in 79 is I was always good at sports and I was bad at everything else, but I was good at sports. So that kind of, you know, when you're a kid and you're good at sports, you can be bad at everything else. And,
sure.
You know, who cares?
You're still beloved.
Well,
it's preferable.
Calligraphy be damned. If you're good at sports.
Oh, absolutely. I would give anything to be good at sports rather than I would choose sports over being smart, good at art, good at math, good at anything. I would have chosen to be a good athlete.
Well, the sports will win you the popular vote. Like
Absolutely.
With the kids. Now, with the parents and the teachers and stuff, then the academics weighs a little more. But you'd rather have the popular vote instead of the electoral college, which is good student versus good at sports. Well, I was good at sports. And then it started to fade out, as you know, when once puberty started to kick in for everyone around me and everyone got onto their own secret sauce and I was kicking into Jim Carolla's jeans, it didn't work. So what happened in 79 is all my friends were 15 and some of them were turning 16 and none of it was working with me genetically. And then they were all kind of turning into freaks, like genetically, all their big dad, blue collar dad genes, big forearm dads were like kicking in. And I remember just things like very specifically. Now, the reason 79 was a bottomed out year is because nothing kicked in for me. And the reason 80 and 81 worked out is because by the end of 79, I realized nothing had kicked in and that I was going to have to go full Rocky training montage and drink raw eggs in the morning and live in the weight room. And then I could overcompensate for this lack of hand I was dealt genetically. But 79, I didn't really know what was going on. All I knew is I was better than all my friends traditionally, and now I wasn't. And I remember a couple things. I remember Scott Whitman was the quarterback for my Pop Warner team, who was always a kind of blonde, frail kid. He kind of reminded me of he had blonde hair, and he was very, very feminine looking. And he was a quarterback. He was a pretty good athlete, but he sort of looked like Marilyn Monroe or something.
Oh.
And I
you
was.
You know, gone. Girls, especially at that age, love a pretty boy.
He was a pretty boy. And I was the strong guy And I was like, whip all the defensive linemen and tackle, run them down and tackle him. And everyone would be like, oh, Scott, you know, Corolla's coming for you. You better run or whatever. And at some point, when we were like 15 and he was like 16, he came over to my friend's house, like Chris's house, and he got the bench press, the kind that used to have the plastic weights with the cement inside of them, the old weird plastic. They would come in like maroon.
They'd be coated in plastic.
Yeah, they'd be coated in plastic. Yeah. And there was kind of a shell to them, but it was like
rubber, I guess.
Cheap. No, it was plastic. It was like they were kind of purple colored or blue colored, and it was just like a weird thing. I think they'd fill them up with cement. They were just like, you know, we came from a place where iron plates were out of our reach financially. Like, literally just weights were too much. Weight was too much. But it was like cheap plastic whatever and a cheap whatever. And I remember laying down and, like, they put 100 pounds on the bench press and I was able to muscle out three of them. And Scott Whitman, who was always kind of the frail blonde of my group, he was the quarterback. I was the lineman. He, like, just sat down and peeled off, like, 25. And I was like, wait a minute. This guy's the frail quarterback, and I'm the big stud lineman, and I could barely muster three of them. And then, of course, everyone else popped off 20. And I was like, oh, I don't know what's going on, but I don't like it. This isn't good for me. So I remember we had one of these, Brian. I don't know if you had one of these, but we had a dirt track at our high school. And we had, they'd come up with ways to kind of torture the kids who are playing football to work them out, you know, drag the truck tire and push this and grind on that. And we had a dirt track, and on it was the thing, the metal grate they would use to drag the infield of the baseball field. And they'd put that thing, like, on a little tractor and drive, you know, they'd drag the field. Like, they do it during the seventh inning stretch, I guess. You guys have seen that, right?
Yeah, like a little, like the comb.
It's a fence.
Yeah, the comb. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but it's heavy. It's got some heft to it because it's got to lay down and kind of grab. Anyway, they tied a rope around it, like a big loop. And everyone was taking turns to see, like, how far they could drag it on the dirt track. And my buddy Chris, like, got on it and was like, kind of took off, you know, just went down, you know, dragged it 150 feet and dropped it. And I grabbed it around my waist and I started leaning into it. I went nowhere. Yeah, I couldn't move.
You were like Yosemite Sam when Bugs Bunny put his hand on his head.
That's right.
It just to grind his
waist. I literally just fell over. I kept falling over. Like, I've leaned so far that I just fall over. And I couldn't budge it. I just couldn't budge it.
You must have had such an existential crisis at that moment. Your total, all your identity is now turned upside down.
Oh, my God. I was like, you're about to fail biology and driver's ed and your scrub football player, too. High school is going to be horrible for you. And I remember thinking about it at that time. And I remember going, God, this is bad. This is bad. I have to do something. But I wasn't sure what to do. You know, being a good student wasn't an option. That was never taken up. But I was like, I got to salvage. There was probably a third route where I could have started working on some form of creativity or comedy or some form of that. But it wasn't. For me, it was either be a good athlete, be a good football player, or bust. That was it for me.
Walk into the ocean with rocks in your pocket.
That's right. And that's when the long journey began. And then, of course, my two friends who were so gifted physically, they were almost bored because everything, like, sort of came too easily for them. And then they started getting laid and drinking and smoking, and they just dropped out. They could have got scholarships, and they never did. So that's the moral of the story if the kids are listening. But, yeah, 79, that's where I was, living in a house with no air conditioning. And then I realized as I was driving through the San Fernando Valley and I was on the way to Malibu and I was hearing about the 121 record breaking heat, I also realized my mom has lived in the San Fernando Valley and never owned a house with central air. So that's she made it through her entire life. 121, I mean, it ain't Death Valley, but it's almost,
it's close.
That's almost Palm Springs. It ain't far off. When it starts with a 2, you're 115?
Yeah, 115. And yeah. inside the house, just because I didn't want to blow anything out. So, you know, didn't run the washer and dryer, just really like on pins. Because the exact day last year, I didn't know, but it came up on Andy's Facebook memories. The exact day last year, we were also at a heat wave. Our AC blew and we had to go to a hotel in Glendale for 4 days. Well, they fixed it. So we were just kind of like a little nervous all weekend. So I had it at like a respectable 76, and inside the house it was 83. And then the next day we said, fuck it. But that first day we were just so afraid something like that was going to happen.
The reason everyone pays so much to live at the beach in this town is I was checking the temp in the car with on the computer and the dash. And as I was passing through the San Fernando Valley on the freeway, it was at 119, 120. And then as I was pulling onto PCH and driving toward Pepperdine College in Malibu, it was 81, maybe 80. I mean, it was literally 40 degrees.
Yeah.
It was a 40-degree drop. And that's the crazy thing that's always insane to me is I was yelling at Sonny, The valley is 7 miles, like in a straight line. It's 7 miles from where we are. It's not in the next county or universe. It's not far. It's really physically like in a straight line. It may be 5.5 miles before you get into the valley from PCH. If you did it as the crow flies, how can it be a 40-degree difference? The elevation isn't even different.
You're right. And not even that. But you, when you said, like, you know, if you don't have air conditioner at the beach, you're going to have like 3 or 4 miserable days and the rest is going to be cream cheese. Well, that's what it was when I lived in Manhattan Beach. That's exactly right. But when I lived in Manhattan Beach, we had like 3 horrible days. And then not only was everything else perfect, but on days we were having record heat in the valley, Manhattan Beach was socked in. It was cool and like pirate weather, and you couldn't even see in front of you. And
yeah.
That's the same county.
I know. So we just spent the weekend heading to the beach and getting into the water, man. I went swimming out in the ocean and kind of forgot. I hadn't had my ass kicked by a wave in a while. It was like a little 3-foot wave, and I was just going to duck under it, and it just sort of rolled me around. Like, I hadn't had that feeling since I was a kid of really getting sort of rolled around in a wave a little bit. But
did you cough up some water?
No, I had it together. Walked the beach, took Phil out there. Phil went nuts, you know, in the water and running at other dogs and just kind of in generally having a good time. Took a big Duke right on the sand, you know, right in the where everyone walks on the sand. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's so weird. I didn't have a bag on me because when I take Phil for a walk, I take him for a walk and I bring a bag every time. I bring a poop bag. Somehow going to the beach didn't constitute a walk in my head. That was going to the beach for some reason. I don't know why I did that flawed math. So he took a...
Did you bury it?
You got to bury it.
He took a huge Duke. It was big because the night before he had gotten to a big pan of fudge brownies that was on the edge of the counter. I mean, he can get up at 5-6 feet if he gets up on his hind legs and just took this thing off the counter.
He survived a pan of fudge brownies?
Yeah, how is that not known yet?
You know,
within the Kroll household,
there's a lot of here's
he survived socks.
Here's what you do. You have a lot of conversations when you have a dog about how chocolate will kill them and they can't have, you know, one Hershey's kiss and blah, blah, blah. And then at some point you wake up and you realize your dog just ate a half pan of brownies at 2 a.m., you know, the night before. And then you just look at the dog and you go, eh, seems fine. And then you get about your day. And it's called being a bad owner. So I took him. He took a massive dump. I had then sheepishly asked people that were passing by if they had a bag. Somebody traveled with 2 bags, so they handed us one. Somebody,
don't you have the roll? Don't you guys own Adam? Obviously not. Gene, you have the roll on the bone on the leash. That
used
kind of
to,
thing?
Yeah. When I had
it
dog,
holds
yeah.
like 10, 12 bags, whatever it is.
Should do that. Got to do it. So anyway, and then someone was nice enough to take it like into their beach house and throw it away. There wasn't any receptacles down there, whatever.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Do not pass go straight to heaven.
I know. So
that's a saint.
That was good. Larry Elder is going to be joining us later. He has a movie out called Uncle Tom. It's a documentary. It's
incendiary title.
Very interesting documentary. But here's something I looked it up on IMDb.
What part of the sevens is it in?
9.4.
Wow.
On IMDb. I've never seen anything higher than 7.7 or 8.1. 9. Wow. It starts with a 9, and there's like 2,000 votes.
2,750.
It's going to break IMDb.
2,750. I mean, we're coming on 3,000 votes, so it's not, you know, let's face it. Sometimes something is 100% on Rotten Tomato with 5 votes, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, 5 votes. Uncle Tom, 9.4 on IMDb. There's nothing I've ever created that is higher than a 7.7. You may like some of the movies I've done. I don't think I've ever cracked an 8 on maybe not Taco Bell material, the stand-up special. No. None of it. I've never gotten to the 8s. He's flaunting us at a 9.4. So Larry's going to come in and I'm going to ask him questions, tough questions about the black community and the state of the union and what's going on. And I'm going to ask him, I'll definitely play devil's advocate and ask him a few ones that are tough. Like, there's ones that have sort of easy answers, but there are ones like why black kids are more likely to be suspended. We'll hear what he says to that. Why prison sentences are longer for blacks who commit the same crime as their white partners do. Here's one. Why employers don't hire people with black names, or they hire them at a lesser rate? They hire, you know, they would hire Ooh. Jeff rather than Deshaun.
That seems like it.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry about that. I just saw a viral story that made the rounds. Gene, I'm sure you saw this on Twitter. There was a couple, a mixed race couple, who was getting the house appraised, I guess, for the refi or whatever. And they had a lot of African paraphernalia, like from, you know, the subcontinent. And it came in at one level. The first appraisal came in at a pretty low level. And they're like, our house is worth more than that. So they actually removed all the African stuff, pictures and decoration and whatever, got it reassessed. I guess, I'm not sure it was the same company, but it reassessed. And it was significantly higher, maybe $150,000 higher. So I don't know. It might be an interesting point of conversation.
I thought you were going to say the new Rachel Dolezal, the girl who came out and basically said, I've been living this lie. And August was I got this article sent to me 50 times over the weekend. August was the first, and she's from Kansas City and she's Jewish. And yes, she used to sit in front of me at synagogue.
Wow.
Yes,
really?
Yes.
You see over a big afro? You,
and I told Conway on the show, I said, I promise you, I know her. He goes, $5 says you don't know her. I go, okay. So I texted my best friend from Kansas City, and I can read you verbatim what she said. Cause I said, we know her, right?
Well,
her answer was, yeah.
Do you want to do in the news?
Sure. I don't have I'd be happy to.
Well,
I have the direct quote from her.
Well, let me just do a quick read here and we'll get some of the stuff prepared for the news. Now, as far as the appraisal goes, it's funny because I had a real estate guy in here a couple of days ago and I was going nuts on him on appraisals. This may or may not be the case. Appraisals are all over the road, mostly low. And I have had on way more than one occasion had somebody appraise a building or a house or whatever. And I said, that's about half the value of this warehouse or of that home. And they went, well, that's what they came in with. And I went, we got to get another appraisal. And they get another appraisal and they just come in at a different score. But if it was the same place, certainly it couldn't be the same person doing the appraiser. But if it was the same outfit, that would be interesting. But I have had appraisals. I've had appraisal that was so low. I was like, are you insane? You're $1 million off the price of this house. And the person said, yeah, the appraiser doesn't work this area. I go, oh, I have an exotic idea. By the way, what year is it for the appraiser? Maybe the appraiser doesn't do modern day. Maybe it's 1927 for them. Like, okay, could we go find an appraiser who's familiar with the area so we could get an accurate appraiser? Okay, yeah, we can do that. I love everyone's answers, right? Like, they don't know this area. They're used to working Baton Rouge, so they don't know the Hollywood Hills. Okay, well, stuff's more expensive.
Perhaps.
Yes, it drove me nuts. All right, get ready with the news there. I'll hit GovX, military or first responder. Well, are you? I bet you many who listen are. Visit GovX.com. Sign up for free instant access to tons of deals and a community that honors your service. Your job demands a lot. And deployments, long shifts, dangerous situations. GovX believes patriots deserve special recognition. Deal on you get deals on gear you need for off-duty life. Brands like Oakley, Yeti, Garmin, Danner, and more. Every month, GovX supports nonprofits serving military, first responders, and law enforcement communities as well. And you can sign up. It's easy. It's fast. And it's totally free. Become a member today. Use the code Adam for 15% off your first order of $50 or more. GovX.com. Savings for those who serve. All right, Gina, let's do some news, shall we?
Yeah. Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Give news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Hold on one second. I know you guys have heard this, but really just think about this superstitious native aspect to this thought when I was 13 years old. When I would go to Chris Bohm's house, who had central air, and coming from a place where I only knew air came from the window mount unit. Oh, so yeah. It was like that was outside. Uh-huh. It was the size of, you know, three toaster ovens, and it made a huge humming, vibrating sound. And it, like, it kind of made sense. Like, that the backside of it was outside. It brought the warm air in, it cooled it, and then it spat it out into my stepdad's den or my stepdad's bedroom. And that, I wrapped my mind around that concept. But I went to my friend's house, and he had central air, and the ducts were interior on the interior walls. And I was like, there's cold air coming from that wall.
It's going throughout the house.
No noise. No outdoors, no window, no nothing. Just cold air coming from a hole inside an interior wall. And I was so impressed with it that I pulled my blanket off the bed and I just went and laid down and I just slept next to this grill on the wall where cold air came out of. Magically, it wasn't making a noise. I know. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, just to continue that that story we were just talking about, Jessica Krug, she's a professor at George Washington University, revealed she'd been lying about being black for years. She will no longer be teaching classes this semester. Oh. A spokesperson for GWU did not comment further. Requests have not been returned for CNN. The message from the GWU administration comes just one day after Krug, who's a professor of African and Latin American studies, revealed she was not a black woman that she had been passing herself off as for years. Instead, she revealed she's white, Jewish, and from Kansas City. And throughout her adult life, there she is, yeah. Krug had masqueraded as North African, African-American, and Caribbean-rooded Bronx blackness. She apologized.
You know what was on to her ass years ago? Roseanne Barr. She knew.
Oh, yeah.
That's white.
That's right.
She didn't know.
A little yardstick, but how bad is racism in this country where half the people are trying to pass themselves off as the hated race? Well, yeah, not half the people, but there's cases of people trying to become a race that we allegedly hate and oppress. That doesn't seem like a great strategy if, in fact, we are who we say we are.
Well, it was funny because, like I said, August was the first person to send me this article, and then I got many after that, and he made some joke like, oh, it must be a friend of Gina's. Well, I said, it's not that big of a community in Kansas City. I promise you, I know someone who knows her. So I texted my best friend, my oldest friend from Kansas City, and I said, what's the deal? The name sounds familiar. Do we know her? Yes, she went to our synagogue. She's so-and-so's niece. She was a few years behind us. She used to sit in front of us at synagogue.
Wow.
Wow.
There you go. It's a small town in Kansas City.
Now, was she doing this in order to get a break, I mean, to get on the staff or to be able to teach these subjects credibly? The other thing, too, is kind of weird. It's like, I can listen to a guy speak about the Civil War who didn't participate in the Civil War.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be a reenactment guy.
I'm old-fashioned that way. Like, I just feel like you can talk about Black studies or Chicano studies. You may speak about that like you speak about any subject. Yes, Brian.
Well, we got Cesario coming on soon, but like some of the best analysis about sports, football in particular, are not from guys who played the game. You know what I mean? The best hitting coach, Ted Williams, was a marginal hitting coach. You know what I mean? Because it came so naturally to him versus the person who studied it and like really understands like the science of hitting.
And that's why Booger McFarland doesn't have a job.
Exactly.
Right.
But I think you're right. Like, is it the chicken or the egg? I would be shocked. I mean, that would be a way bigger story if she felt like, you know, like Soul Man, like she had to become this person to get this job. Then it would be like this undercover story and it would be totally different. This seems from just a few paragraphs that this is how she wanted to identify. And, oh, I would get a job doing this. And she even said, I'm not a culture vulture. I'm a culture leech. So this was kind of her mea culpa.
I'd rather. Yeah. Well, but if you think about it, if we live in a world where we're really getting granular about people's heritage and it turns out that your kid's got a better shot at getting into a better college if they have a little Native American blood in them or a little Hispanic or a little something, it makes sense that a lot of people are going to be checking that box when they're filling stuff out. Like there's going to be, if we are giving people in that arena, the college campus, if we're saying we are going to lower the admittance standards, if in fact you have a little this in your heritage or a lot of that in your heritage, or we may be hiring, but we're looking for somebody with this in their background and not that in their background. It stands to reason that a lot of people, especially in a murky world of heritage, are going to start fudging things, right? Why wouldn't you?
Right.
I mean, what's so different about Lori Loughlin? You know what I mean? It's like going, if she could have passed her kid off as like half Cherokee Indian or something, she probably would have done that. So I think we're going to see probably more of this.
Well, she's no Elizabeth Warren.
No.
So we were just talking about the heat. It is comical outside here in Los Angeles. And like Adam said, we made history, 122 degrees in Woodland Hills, which is not far from here in the valley. One fire near Los Angeles over in San Bernardino County, just one county over, is being blamed on a gender reveal party. And we just had a story like this not that long ago. According to Cal Fire, it's now burning over 7,000 acres, you know, in the middle of 147 degree heat. As we record this right now, it's 7,000 acres. And it was caused by a smoke generating pyrotechnic device. So this isn't the first time that this happened.
I was seeing this trending and I was like, wait a minute, this is an old story, right? Didn't we hear this story already?
The same thing happened recently.
Oh,
now,
my God.
Now, I'll tell you what happened last time. Do you know what Tannerite is?
I've heard about it.
Well, let me refresh. In 2017, an Arizona man started a forest fire when he was doing a gender reveal target, and it was filled with Tannerite.
Oh, it's going to explode it, right?
Explosive target,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And that caught a wildfire that torched 47,000 acres. The damage brought, $8 million. He agreed to pay $100,000 damages up front, along with $5,000 a month for the next 20 years.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
I would say if you check back 30 years from now, a higher percentage of kids that were revealed in a gender reveal process will have a slightly higher percentage chance of having their gender reassigned at some point in their life. I think it's going to be a little bit higher, little bit. That's me. Get on that, Max Spada.
Start tracking that.
Google me right.
Can I just say as a PSA, this is my own personal opinion. I think, and the way Brian did it was adorable. It was a personal thing that he and Christy.
Everyone be like
cupcake.
Me.
But here's the
was
thing.
Was it the cupcake?
No, it was the yogurt. With the berries.
Strawberries or blueberries.
Oh, right.
But if you need to have another party because you're having a kid, then what is more the epitome of narcissism? Just relax. Indulge in all the showers, in all the gifts. in all the other parties everyone's going to throw you. We don't all need to gather around again for another, you know, faking our way through this enthusiasm. If it, we've got a 50-50 chance of it being a boy or a girl, just you'll get enough. You're going to get enough attention throughout this process. You don't need to set a forest on fire.
That there's something interesting about kids, and maybe it isn't indicative of exactly where we are as a society, or at least in our Western culture now. If you could argue there was one thing that was kind of ubiquitous and not really worth, you know, a headline grab, it would be having kids. You know, like, we're only here because somebody had kids. We all had kids. It's like, it's there's one, you know, there's the Heisman Trophy, and there's X amount of people that win that, and there's X amount of people that die in commercial airline disasters or whatever it is. But kids, this country, the world over, ubiquitous, like, insane. Everybody, the worst person you know was born, the best person you know was born. They're all, yes. Gandhi and Hitler were both born at some point. If all the things, and I get it kind of, I get it personally, you know, you're starting a family, you love your child, I get it. But globally, like outside of the personal, like, hey, this is my kid and this is my wife and we love our kids or whatever that thing. But to go sort of global with it is sort of insane, considering everybody's had a kid. Everyone was a kid. Most of the people you're telling, we have a kid, they go, yeah, we have kids too. So is everybody. This is not unique. It is ubiquitous the world over.
It's actually rather unremarkable.
Name me a nation that doesn't have kids.
They're probably not a nation.
You'd be hard pressed.
Jesus,
man.
Christ, in China, they'll kill every third one. Like, if it's not a boy, I mean,
it's a surplus.
We wouldn't be here if people didn't do this. This is unremarkable. No. Yes, that's what makes me a bad dad.
It's true, though.
We're
all the product of being born.
And it's, and again, the best, the worst, and everything in between has all just been born and had a gender. And also, again, I don't want to be Mr. Douchefire here, where I'm like, well, celebrate your family and celebrate your kids. But it really isn't news to the rest of us. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Your family and your friends are going to be thrilled and overjoyed for you, but outside of that circle.
Well, right. And if you're famous, you'll have a couple of months of, ooh, look at so-and-so's baby bump, and then nobody cares anymore.
Right. And then eventually, as I was watching I was watching Princess Di and the royal family, and they had some stuff running on CNN, and I'm like, eventually the cutest little boy in the world gets male pattern baldness.
And how.
And there we go. That's where we're at. All right, let me hit Bruce. Dentist quality clean, and you can do it from your own home, which is Bruce, which I use every single day. It is better than the toothbrush you're currently using. It'll pause for a second, tell you when to switch sides. It's sonic wave technology. 31,000 movements a minute, plus 100 times as effective as the old school brush, the manual brushing, and a great price too. They have a refill plan, 3 replacement heads every 6 months, just $18. 6 cleaning modes. They have the smart one, the smart timer, which will let you know, again, when to change sides and when to change top to bottom. 4-week battery life, so it lasts on a charge. It says battery, but it's rechargeable, obviously. Magnetic charging station, sleek travel case. I use it every single day. I don't know what else to tell you about it. Works great. You get 15% off your first Bruce kit when you use the promo code Adam at Bruce. That's Bruush.com. Promo code Adam. Let's do one more, Gina.
All right. Let's see here. Well, why don't we do one in honor of Vinny? Because I know at some point he's going to hear this, and I want to make him drive off the road with anger. Snack foods, a lot of them are rebranding right now. With the quarantine and the COVID-15 weight gain, everybody's trying to get in on people's sloth and people's just kind of hanging around the house and eating whatever they want for breakfast. So here's a quick list. I have 3 companies that are now rebranding as breakfast foods. First one, Little Debbie's oatmeal cream pies are now a breakfast cereal. They're described as crispy little oatmeal puffs with a creamy coating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
Hershey's, this is my personal favorite. Hershey's announced this month it's launching Reese's Snack Cakes, which is a chocolate cake baked with peanut butter cream, covered in milk chocolate, branded as a mid-morning snack, specifically before lunch. And now they're not even doing anything to the product. They just slapped another word on the box. Kraft Macaroni and Cheese is adding the word breakfast.
Wow.
What's the strategy here?
So the company hopes the new breakfast label will take away the shame and the stigma of people eating this shit for breakfast and giving it to their kids for easy to make non-breakfast food mornings.
You know, we tried this with Coke in the 80s, like Coke for breakfast. They had a whole...
Remember.
Yeah, do you remember that, Brian?
I do, yeah.
They had a whole campaign.
My dad latched onto that and never quit. He still does Diet Coke every morning.
They had Coke for breakfast, which is somewhere around New Coke. So they had a couple of interesting campaigns in the mid-80s or something.
You'd be better doing Coke for breakfast than drinking Coke for breakfast.
I know, right? So the word breakfast has always kind of been synonymous with, oh, it's important and it's healthy and whatever. So when you put, you know, they call them breakfast bars, they're essentially candy bars. It is insane to me, but you know what it is? This is all of us. It was because of Jolt Cola. So the Jolt Cola was the extra caffeinated cola.
All the sugar, twice the caffeine.
People were drinking that. So I had this interesting thought, and I've talked to you guys a little bit about it, but I was talking to Dr. Drew about this, which is the reason they invented granola is because people want to eat sweet carbs for breakfast, but they knew when they were eating honey sugar smack puffs that it was bad, or Count Chocula was bad. So my mom knew that eating sugar flakes or frosted flakes or honeycomb, or she knew that was junk. So now she had to figure this one out. That's junk. It's full of carbs and sugar, but I still want carbs and sugar. And then you'd go, how about you eat a poached egg? And they go, no, I want carbs and sugar, but it's bad for me. I know. Why don't we invent something called granola?
Yeah, how about clusters of oats?
Clusters of oats. And it's granola, and it's sweetened with dates. And then you eat it from your hand-thrown bowl that your friend threw for you in his pottery commune. And then you eat it from that bowl, and now it's good.
You're doing everything
right.
And
you're like, oh, good, because this is what I want to do.
Because that's from nature.
Right, it's from nature. It's got the word nature in it. It's clusters, and it's wholesome, and it's whole grain, and whatever. So it was essentially, granola was invented so my mom could eat cereal for breakfast and feel good about it, or many people could eat. And I always remember when granola was kicking in, I was like, when I was a kid, I was like, well, you know, of course, Captain Crunch is awesome, but this granola is not bad. Like, it's really sweet. It tastes all brown sugary and molassesy, and it's got stuff in it. And I was like, this is pretty darn good. So we, as human beings, we go, here's what we want to do. And we go, we can't do that. That's bad. How about we invent an alternative that we can sleep with? Now, as far as your liver goes and your metabolism goes, you're still fat. It's not gonna help.
Which doesn't make any sense because I've been eating granola every day.
Right.
How could this be?
Yeah.
Right. But that's what this is. Like, I'd like to have Reese's peanut butter cups for breakfast. I don't think so. Oh, well, yeah. It says breakfast on the wrapper. Oh.
Talk about moving the goalpost. It's breakfast food now. And isn't it true, or isn't it commonly known, that cereal was created to help people stop masturbating?
Yeah, the whole Kellogg story and everything. Yeah.
A bland breakfast will get you to stop masturbating.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. That's the news, and I'm Gina Grad.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, Geico. Just a quick 30 seconds to remind you about Geico. You want to save 15%, an extra credit on your motorcycle, RV, automobile policies. Might I suggest you go over to Geico and sign yourself up if you're not already. Never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save the extra 15% when you switch by October 7th, and you can visit them at geico.com to learn more. That is geico.com. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with the new segment with Jeff Cesario, All Balls, All Sports. We'll do that right after this.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for another ballsy month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes two Vinny Tortorich approved and invented ultra fat instant energy packs so you don't reach for that donut. Four shot glass ice molds so you can keep your whiskey cold and straight down the hatch. A bottle of Chateau Spill to remove wine stains or blood from the fine silk you're donning. Of course, a bottle of your choice. And the coup de grace, a digital download of the very first basic cable commentary, Roadhouse. This $60 value can be yours for only $25 at CorollaDrinks.com. It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
It's All Balls, All Sports, ABAS, ABAS. I'm Chet Waterhouse with the Bet Online mini update, sponsored by Illuminati's. We just want to control the world's soda cans. NBA, Denver shacks the Clippers like Pavlov drunk on Patron. Said the Clippers' Lou Williams, this bubble needs a strip club with good hot wings. NFL, Bill Belichick names Cam Newton his starting quarterback. Newton celebrates by wearing one of Bjork's old outfits as a hat. And tennis, Novak Djokovic DQ'd from the U.S. Open for hitting a judge in the throat with a tennis ball. Said Djokovic, honestly, I was aiming for the murder hornet right behind her. This mini-update sponsored by Abracadaver, the world's best dead magician. Or is he? Time for All Balls, All Sports headlines. Let's hand it over to Jeff Cesario.
Thanks, Chet. Look at these. Cam Newton. Let's start with Cam Newton. Starting for New England, he called the Patriots a match made in heaven, which I think the match might be cartoon style, very close to a stick of dynamite. I think this is could be very good or very bad for New England. He started nine seasons with Carolina, did Newton, won the MVP in 2015. But he loves New England. He says everything's pulling in the right direction. And he even enjoys getting the illegal footage of his opponents prior to the game.
I was looking at Cam Newton. As he was practicing, he wears a lot of interesting, even practice attire. It's not all just about the hats and the press conference. And Maxipat, I think you can find a piece of Cam Newton. This is all just doing it on the fly. But he was practicing a couple days back with the Patriots, and he was wearing a full sort of old school gray sweatsuit, like sweatpants and sweat top, the old school like Rocky.
Like Rocky.
Rocky One and Hans and Franz, right? And Hans and Franz, they pump you up, and they would go up there, and they have to wear long sleeves because they didn't want to do the prosthetics and the whole thing, right? Cam Newton looked like Hans and Franz in his sweat because he's such a specimen, right?
He's a Greek god.
Yeah. It's incredible, that guy. He's such a crazy physical specimen. I don't know. I feel like he's going to do some winning at New England. Guys who are traditionally, you know, didn't do, they're in the wrong. Look, we know he has the physical capability of executing the job. We know physically he's a freak. Now you put that with Bill Belichick's mentorship. I don't know. Maybe we got a win here.
It's funny you mentioned the physical, because last couple of years he's been really banged up, especially last year, the bad arm. He could barely throw passes. He's throwing ducks. He replaced halfway through the year with Kyle Allen, I think. But I've done a lot of fantasy football research, and at least those guys, some of the experts are saying they haven't like quarterback 10 overall, like the 10th best quarterback in fantasy, because he's talented. He's with a really good coach. He's surrounded by a lot of talent. I mean, not marquee talent, but you know, that team's always going to be good. So yeah, I can see it working out for him.
Gina, thoughts?
Also, I like Cam. He's super hot. I think everything's looking good.
I was also looking at Djokovic with the tennis ball and the line judge. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know. He seemed pretty remorseful about it. I don't know what he was, what his plan was.
Footage. You know, these guys, when they lose a point or they get frustrated, they take whatever ball is left in their hand and they just slam it out of bounds to kind of show some frustration. It was more in that vein, although apparently he has a history, Novak Djokovic, of doing this somewhat close to ball boys or line judges or people like that. But I don't think he ever expected this to happen. Well, if we have that
he did footage, it he did it haphazardly, right? He just kind of went, he didn't even look, he just kind of went, damn, you know, did this thing.
And then
like so much of it is luck of the draw in terms of who you hit and where you hit them, right? Because this is your worst nightmare. So what he did is he just kind of haphazardly like hit the ball, like, yeah, get out of here, ball, like, yeah, he did it. And
bam. Oh, she's down.
It hit the person in the throat.
Alex.
And then the person crumbled to the ground and was writhing and like holding their throat. And I'm like, if this hits the person in the shoulder, then you're fine because the person just stands there. Right. And if you hit the person in the knee, you're fine, too. Or if it's some stout lumberjack dude and he doesn't go down, you know, but he hit this middle age. He hit like this 60-year-old woman right in the neck and she dropped to the ground and started rolling around. And it was like, A, you could tell he felt bad it hit her. But then B, she just grabbed her throat and fell down to the ground. And it's like, oh, now this is bad. Yeah. You ever have that thing?
But
like,
here's,
you know,
here's
what it's
the deal
like?
On line judges are seriously like, you need one day of training to be a line judge. Anybody over 16 and you're in. That's it. Now, of course, for the U.S. Open, they pick from thousands of line judges around the country, so you get the best ones. But still, essentially, you know, like this woman, you're selling, you know, snow globes or something on Etsy, and then the next day you're at the U.S. Open and your larynx is shot.
I don't mean to attack this middle-aged woman who hit the ground, but if you can't handle being hit by a tennis ball, get off the court. I feel like that comes along. It's bound to happen eventually. You are going to. There's way too many balls flying around that court at too fast, and you're too old and too slow. This is never going to work. But it kind of reminded me, if you guys have ever been in this situation,
No.
But he's really saying, don't go to the ground, bitch. Now,
look how disappointed he is.
Yeah.
He's just irritated.
So then she goes to the ground, and then he's like, well, why don't you deduct a point or suspend me for a match or something? Like, no, you're out of the tournament. And he's like, you could do this other thing. And they're like, nah, you're out. I always feel bad for all the guys who had money on him. Number one. Number two.
True victim.
Bad beat.
You know what it kind of reminded me of? You ever had this situation when, you know, sometimes you could be a teenager or young adult or even now, and you're at some kid's party or something, and you're like roughhousing with one of the kids, and at some point one of the kids hits the turf a little bit hard, and you like look at their face for a minute, and half the time they pop up and want to go at it again, and then the other half of the time their face starts to turn, and then tears start coming down, and then they start running into the house, mommy, and you're like, no, come back. Like, that was what he did. He hit the ball, it hit her right in the larynx, and she just went, I'm dropping down.
I did that as a playground instructor. I was hitting fungos to kids way out in the outfield. And then there was a halfway mark where, and these are all kids between about 13 and 17, and halfway mark where kids are catching the grounders or the line shots. And there was like a 10-year-old girl about 30 feet in front of me, just in case there were any bunts or anything like that. And I said, all right, I'm going to whack one out and try to hit it out of the park. And I hit a line shot, and it hit her right in the temple.
Oh, wow.
And she went down, and I just saw my life. I'm like 20, high as a cut. And I just saw my life disappear. And she literally said, owie, owie, I can't see. And I just thought, oh, I'm dead. Life is done. And then typical Kenosha was, she pops up. She shakes it off. She goes, I'm fine. And I went, oh, my God, I can't believe how lucky I am. Just the daughter of an American Motors factory worker. You know, just tough.
Yeah. So I felt bad for him. I mean, he shouldn't be hitting tennis balls in the general direction of the elderly.
Especially when there's nobody in there.
But it could have.
It's the one human being that's also in there with him.
Now, if it would have hit her in the meaty part of the thigh, I don't think we'd be having this discussion. But just hit her right in the throat, maybe. Now, Gina, here's a reference you're not going to get. But the great catcher for the Dodgers, Steve Yeager, he pioneered the throat protector, the thing that the little piece of plastic looked like a wide plastic shoehorn that dangled from the bottom of your catcher's mask to protect your throat from the foul ball.
It's insane the baseball was played for 70 years or whatever it was before. But, hey, let's protect that guy's throat that the ball's coming at.
Well, every single pitch is essentially thrown at the guy's throat. Like if you think about a pitcher and a crouch, catcher and a crouch, if you picture a catcher in the crouch position, if you were sort of aiming for the middle of the plate, you know, waist high, middle of the plate, you would essentially be shooting for the Adam's apple of the guy, of the catcher, right? And of course, then you swing the bat and now balls get tipped, right? And it just punched him right in the throat, but he made a little shoehorn thing and it just sort of dangled down and protected his throat. But maybe the line coaches are going to have to start doing that as well. There's Steve Yeager.
Yeah.
With this little thing hanging down. Right. Now I think everyone has one, or I think maybe the mask goes down further.
Yeah.
Longer. Right. That's part of the chest pad, too. The winner in all this, Pablo Carreño Busta, who won when Djokovic was for Busta, fortunately disqualified. And Busta will move on to the U.S. tennis quarterfinals.
You know, it's going to be, you know, it's great. You know, 20 years from now, he's going to be sitting around with his wife who's pissed, you know, and they're going to have friends over and they're going to go, Pablo, didn't you play some tennis back in the day, right? You were a professional. Yeah, I beat Djokovic. I beat one of the best players that ever walked on a court, and his wife is in the next room, you know? You beat Djokovic. That guy's a perennial all-star. That guy's one of the biggest.
Records.
Yeah, go check it out. I beat him in the semi. And then he knows his wife's coming in going, okay, let me explain how he beat him. Sweetie, we're good. It's back into the kitchen.
I think I smell a pie burning. Why don't you check on it?
How often is she going to bust him on that beat Djokovic story? But yes.
Forever. She's going to bust him forever. Eagles fans, Philadelphia Eagles fans, planning opening day drive-in tailgate because Philadelphia, one of the 10 NFL franchises that has already said they will have no fans in the stands. So a gentleman named Rocco Galelli owns a drive-in theater 20 minutes from the stadium. He's turning it into a giant tailgate.
Nice.
40-foot screen, 150 vehicles, $40 a car, bring your own food. Or get your food from the concession, so you know that's going to be healthy food.
Yeah.
The goal is to simulate a real Eagles tailgate in a safe atmosphere, which is a contradiction in terms. There is no tailgate that's safe.
I know Eagles Stadium is one of the only stadiums with an actual jail in the bowels of it. Did they have to do you think they had to? This is a serious question. Did they have to let their inmates go during this whole COVID situation? I mean, you can't keep them down there with this COVID situation. You gotta
Eagles jail.
Yes. You gotta let those drunken fans out.
Yeah.
I don't know how long they spend down there, but COVID is running rampant through the Eagles, drunk tank. So
sure,
it is an
episode of Dateline where they have a lawyer who decides that someone in Eagles jail is actually innocent, and they go on a 13-year mission to
clear their name.
By the way, the Chiefs, the Patriots, Steelers, and Packers all have prison in the bowels of their stadium, too. It's a sad... I don't know. I would like to explain to someone from the 50s who was like smoking a pipe and wearing a cardigan and is wearing like a pork pie hat and had pomade in his hair. Hey, let me explain two things about our society in the future. Our fire stations are going to have placards that read, drop your child off here if you don't feel like feeding them. And our stadiums are going to have prisons in them for all the people that are too drunk and fighting, punching mascots and stuff. That would be an interesting apocalyptic view of the future for the guy from the 50s, right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's a real bummer, Daddy-O.
Let me hit Bet Online here. Bet Online. Well, the wait is over. Football. It's back. It's coming this week. I had to pinch myself. I did one of those. This Thursday. That's right. It's on. And then, of course, the full slate coming up over the weekend. Still, you can get in on the action opening night Thursday, September 10th, Houston Texans. KC, man, that's going to be a good game. Sunday games, Seahawks, Falcons, Dolphins, Patriots, Cam's coming out party. Cowboys and Rams ought to be a good one. Buccaneers, Saints should be a good one. Packers, Vikings as well. Bet Online gives you more options to wager and more places, a better place to wager online. And you can work the spreads and the totals and the props, all of the above. And you visit betonline.ag, your exclusive partner, Podcast One. Don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 and sign up for your bonus today. That is betonline.ag. Oh, yeah, there's Cam, and you can find a picture of Cam just sort of standing, like not even throwing the ball or anything, just kind of facing the camera, and he's Hans and Franz, man. I don't know what else.
Yeah, that ball looks like a kid's Nerf ball in his hand. Yeah. That's big he is.
It's no greater compliment than the Hans and Franz compliment. All right, Jeff, you got a couple picks for us?
Hang on, the time for the Bet Online line. Sponsored by Proteini, the protein bar is so tiny you don't even know you've eaten it. You got the Lakers versus the Rockets. That's tonight. Lakers minus 210. That means you got to bet $210 to win $100. Lakers favored over the Rockets by that much. They've been having trouble with them. You got the Heat versus the Bucks. The Heat suddenly favored because Giannis Antetokounmpo is out. So the Heat is favored minus 155.
I'm telling you, it's a good sign in our nation that 3 years ago when I was he's my son's favorite player. My son never stops talking about basketball. And 3 years ago when I said to him, he's like, this guy's got a huge arm span and huge vertical. And this guy's dunking from the free throw line. He's blocking everyone's shot. He's like Giannis Gibranova. I didn't know what the guy's name is. And I kept saying to him, is he a black guy? And my son kept saying, no, he's Greek. He's a Greek guy. He's a Greek guy. And I'd go, yeah, but a Greek guy? And he'd go, nah, he's Greek. And I kept going, but he's with the crazy vertical and dunking on everyone. He's a black guy? And he'd go, he's Greek. And then at some point, he stopped and he went, oh, yeah, I guess, yeah, he looks black, but he's Greek. And I thought, oh, we've come a long way as a nation, right? That's a good sign.
Kansas City versus the Texans, Thursday night football money line. Chiefs minus 425. You got to bet $425 to win $100. And the Chiefs are giving 9.5 points. This is considered a slaughter by the bookies.
What's his name? The quarterback just signed like a $430 million.
Mahomes.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
And married his high school sweetheart, or at least they got engaged.
Yeah, he got the ring, then he gave her the ring that day. That was the big romantic story.
Yeah, I think that's
sickening. Completely sickening.
I think that's nice. All right, let's bring it home, Jeff.
All right, that was the first ever All Balls, All Sports, BetOnline.ag Sports Update. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
All Balls, All Sports, presented by BetOnline. Your online sportsbook expert.
All right, we're going to talk to, there's a Yeah, there's still even a better one of him and Hans and Franz, but you get it.
It's close.
He's filling that thing out. He's an action figure. I'm going to get in depth with Larry Elder, who's, is he here? Yeah, he's here. Okay. And we'll do that. Thanks, Jeff Cesario and Gina Grad and Bald. And we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Larry Elder right after this.